Hello, my friends. Good Thursday afternoon to you all. This is Bill Allen coming to you from downtown Tyler, Texas, and the West Irwin Church of Christ. Glad to have you joining in and studying with us. We are looking through the book of 1st and 2nd Peter, and we have just started. This is our 2025 topic of study for a while anyway. Later on in the year, we're likely going to shift to the book of Luke and perhaps the book of Acts. But that's a long way off because we're only taking a few verses at a time. So looking at this marvelous book of 1 Peter as we begin, Peter writes to Christians who are in difficult times, dire straits. Sorry, but I had to get that rock and roll reference in there. A great band. But yes, the Christians in the first century were in dire straits. And sometimes we get ourselves in those situations too, some more dire than others. I love this little story of from a grandparent, which we identify with, Joyce and I do, of course. She says, "My granddaughter overheard conversations about an occasional heart problem, loud beating I experienced when I would try to sleep. One evening, her father heard her concerned prayer, 'And Lord Jesus, please make Grandma's heart stop so she can get some rest.'" Well, probably when you're sleeping and your mate is keeping you awake, it's more likely due to snoring or jerking or some other problem than a heart beating really, really loudly. But this little girl's prayer is so great. And so, yes, Grandma was having a little trouble sleeping, but probably having her heart stopped was not the right solution, I would figure. Well, the people in 1 Peter, they are in difficult times. Peter writes, he was killed, according to tradition, crucified upside down. As a Roman citizen, you are not crucified, and that's why the Apostle Paul was beheaded, because Roman citizens could not be crucified according to law. Peter was not a Roman citizen, and so he was about to be crucified, but according to tradition, again, he requested that he be crucified upside down because he did not feel it worthy of him to be killed in the same manner in which his Lord was. So, a great man of faith, the Apostle Peter. And he's writing these letters. I tell you that story because that happened somewhere around 65, 66, 67. So, within 35 plus a few years, perhaps after Jesus' death himself, the church being just about that old, started less than 2 months after Christ died on the cross. So Peter is writing to Christians probably pretty late in his life. It's hard to determine the exact date. But the church has been around for only 30 years or so at most. And as he writes, he's writing to these Christians who, as he calls them, are exiles. They have been forced to immigrate from the land of Israel, that area of Israel, up to the area that he's going to describe in chapter one of modern-day Turkey, probably in the central, north central area. And this is how, again, this great letter begins. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:1, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is how the letter starts, and we've talked about these resident immigrants, as I call them. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." And those last couple of verses, that's what we covered this past Tuesday. And so I hope that you heard that lesson or that you will go back and take a look at it. You can scroll down on my site if you're on my Facebook page or on the West Irwin Live or West Irwin Church of Christ Facebook pages. You can find it online at our website as well. in the video archives at West Irwin, Irwin with an E, RWIN, westirwin.com. And so that's this living hope. We have a living hope because the tomb is empty, because Jesus was raised from the dead. And that's his big point in 1 Corinthians 15, as we discussed on Tuesday. But today we go on. Verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Such a powerful statement. It is the statement of faith. We live a life filled with faith, a life filled with faith. We have this wonderful inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for us. But in the meantime, we're here. We're resident immigrants. We're not in heaven yet. And so these people that Peter was writing to were suffering because of that. They had been forced from their homeland because of their faith. And now they were in a place that was far away from home, with a language that was not their own, on the bottom of the social scale. A cultural situation that they were not accustomed to. And so Peter is writing to them and is reminding them that our hope is still firm, kept in heaven for us, and that in the meantime, as resident immigrants, through faith, we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That salvation has not been revealed yet. We have it. But what Peter is talking about here is the return of Christ and our entry into heaven, because that's where our hope is, and it hasn't come yet. And that's why we're resident immigrants. We're immigrants because this world is not my home, as the old song says. We're resident immigrants because we're here for a while, away from home. And while we are, as we have discussed already in this series, we're told to make the best of it, to pray for those around us and the world that we're on, the country that we're in, the people around us, all of those things, and to make this world a better place as best we can, because we're going to be here for a while. But our hope, our ultimate hope, is in heaven, where it can never be destroyed, never perish, never fail, and never fade. And that is our great hope. But in the meantime, through faith, we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, he says in verse 6, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Next week on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about joy, because the next couple of verses speak a lot to that. But today, the focus is on being shielded by faith, by God's power. Now let's talk for a minute about what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that God spares us from suffering. We're shielded by God's power. Yes, that's true. We're shielded through our faith, absolutely. But that doesn't mean that we don't experience difficulties here. And sometimes those difficulties happen because of our faith. Our belief in Jesus, sometimes we're around people that don't share that and are actually annoyed by it. And we have to suffer for that. Not as badly, in this country at least, as those in the first century that Peter is writing to. We haven't been forced from our homeland. We have not been persecuted in the sense of being beaten or put in prison, although there are some who have been jailed, and I believe unjustly, for speaking out about their faith. We know that there are parts of this world, places in this world, where Christians are having to meet in secret because their lives are at stake, and they could be killed, as some have, just for being a Christian. It's a sad thing, but it was a reality in the first century. It's a reality in some places here. And what Peter says is, maybe God hasn't spared you from that. But what he has given you is faith and his power. And his power shields you even in the midst of suffering. And so, because of that, we can greatly rejoice. He says in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, which doesn't make sense to people who don't have faith. The only time they can rejoice is when things are going great, when the bank account is full, when the doctor has good news, not bad, when the family is getting along, when the promotion at work works out well. That's when the world rejoices. But for the Christian, you see, our joy is not based on those things. We love those things and we pray for them, of course. But that's not where our hope lies, and that's not where our joy is, and that's because of our faith. Our faith. I love the passage in 2 Corinthians 5. It talks about our longing to be with God. It talks about how in this world we're naked. We're waiting for our heavenly bodies. And so in the meantime, we suffer, and we want that ultimate fulfillment to take place. But Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5, but we haven't experienced that yet. We walk and live by faith, not by sight. You see, when Jesus returns, it'll be sight. We'll be able to see him as he is, the Apostle John writes in his letters. And so we'll be like him. But for now, that's not the case. And so we live by faith, not by sight. One day that'll change, that's true. But maybe that day will be later today. That would be great. I would love that. But it's not there right now. And so today, right now, we live by faith, not by sight. And that's a great thing. And that allows us to be able to rejoice, even in the midst of suffering and difficulty. And that's what Peter says in these verses. In 1 Peter 1, again, verses 6, and I'll start with verse 5. Through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you all greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And we get that. Peter continues that thought of persecution and finding that hope and faith and joy in the midst of it. And he refers to it in chapter 2. Listen to these words in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. You say, well, look, I don't deserve the suffering I'm in. Well, neither did they. Neither did the Apostle Peter. Neither did Jesus Christ. And so Peter addresses that in our passage in 1 Peter 1, and he says that suffering doesn't take away our joy, it doesn't take away our hope, and that's because of our faith. We're shielded through that faith by God's power. And this is what Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verses 19 through 23. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And then he quotes from Isaiah 53, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, Christ, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And I want you to know, I love that last statement. It's in the last part of 1 Peter 2, verse 23. How could Jesus endure that? How could he let them say those things? How could he take those beatings and the floggings and the crown of thorns and ultimately nails driven into his body? How could he do that? Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 23, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And that's what you and I have to do, my friend. Jesus did not entrust himself to the angry mob that was in front of him, screaming for his blood. Screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He knew the Father knew the truth, and that was enough. And that he had determined that that would be enough when he prayed in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And that's another way of saying even Jesus himself had faith in the Father. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That means that he wasn't getting the justice he deserved here on the earth at that moment. And that is for sure true. And sometimes you don't either, and neither do I. And it's during those times when faith is really faith. It's during the times when we are suffering that faith is really faith. Those are the times when we entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly, not to the angry mobs, not to the unequal treatment, not to the unjust suffering that we sometimes have to endure. And that's why Peter says that we are called upon to do that. We're shielded by God's power through faith. And in this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And then Peter gives a little answer for someone who might ask why that happens. Well, he says the reason, a reason, in 1 Peter 1, verse 7. These have come, these trials that we have to endure, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, gold can be tested by the fire and purified by the fire, but one day all the gold in the world will disappear. Everything in the world will disappear. What will be remaining? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we will be with him. And we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We will never be equal to him, but we will be with him in a very real way. And that is when our faith that we live by now will become sight. These have come, Peter writes, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, that faith that is really faith, that stands up even in the worst of times and not just when everything is rosy and nice and good and comfortable. But it's during those times when we have got to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And the people in 1 Peter were experiencing them, and he's going to talk about it throughout this letter. But it's during those times, again, when faith is really faith, and it's during those times when we have to entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. The writer of the book of Hebrews defines faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Again, we live by faith, not by sight. But that doesn't mean we have no hope. We have hope because of the empty tomb, as Peter has said, because the resurrection is our hope. And we have assurance about even what we do not see, because we have faith. We live by faith, not by sight. And that's what gives us that blessed assurance. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And so, as Peter writes these words, we take blessing in them as well. And yes, God doesn't spare us from every difficulty. He doesn't spare us from all the suffering. He spares us from some, I believe. And it's right for us to pray that He would. But we also understand that God is not just about our physical, emotional, stability in this world, in this life, at this moment. He cares about that, and it's good to pray about that. But what He cares about even more is our eternal soul, our eternal salvation, and the salvation of others around us. And so sometimes that means that things don't go very well for me right now. And that's when faith is really faith. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Because that's the ultimate goal, just as surely as heaven is our ultimate goal, is our open ultimate home. Our ultimate goal is that when Jesus Christ is revealed, that faith that we have held on to will result in praise, glory, and honor in that day when Jesus Christ is revealed. In the meantime, we are shielded through our faith by God's great power. Please never forget that. Hold on to that always. And I pray that through this weekend, you'll always be conscious of God's great presence, and you will always entrust yourself to Him who judges justly. God bless, and I'll see you either on Sunday or next Tuesday.